You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
All right. Welcome to episode 14 of the Beer Tour Guy Show. I'm your host, Steve Johnson. And I got a guest. He drove so far to get here today. It's amazing how I can pull in talent from the Michigan brewery scene. Please introduce yourself, sir.
I'm Jeremy Altier. I work at the Royal Oak Brewery. I drove about 5 minutes.
That's the way I like it, right?
Yeah, I should have walked, but I had growlers.
That's all right. See, whenever you show up with growlers, everything is forgiven. Mm-hmm. So we're already enjoying a Kolsch because he got here early. So take that, every other guest I've ever had that likes to show up like 2 minutes before I'm going to go on air.
I didn't have far to drive.
He didn't have far to drive. Although my big joke was when I had Ed from River Rouge on, I don't remember, last summer, he like slept in. I was sitting there trying to call him. He was probably the closest. He's a little closer than you.
Yeah.
And I was
and
like,
he lives in downtown.
River yeah, too, he's right? like literally like, I don't know, maybe it's even down 11 mile. I'm not even sure. It was pretty funny. I'm like calling him, like, what are you doing? Oh, slept through. I don't know. My phone didn't go off. I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks. So, okay, Jeremy. Yeah. So, thanks for coming on. Hey, 14 episodes. It just gets better and better. It used to be people would show up with a bottle. Now we got two growlers. I feel like.
I didn't think I was bringing enough either.
Oh, I know. But I can live with two growlers. Right. Four beers a person. I'll bike back pretty happy. And then I'll come to Royal Oak Brewery later tonight for panel, but we'll get to that in a bit. So tell me a little bit about yourself. You could start wherever you want. You could start, let's see, where are you from originally?
I grew up in Harper Woods. I grew up in Harper Woods. I lived in Grosse Pointe Park for a long time.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. So East Sider for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And today, or now, you live in Ferndale,
yeah,
correct?
I live in Ferndale, yep.
Okay. How long you been in Ferndale?
About 6-7 years now.
Oh, so okay. So you came in before it was super, super trendy, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah. I bought a house right when the market started going back up. So
oh,
I
that's cool.
On that house. Nice.
Yeah, I would assume that just like since I live in Berkeley and I'm on the edge of Royal Oak, I get it. I know how all the real estate values have really shifted a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely in the last 6-7 years. For me, I've been in Berkeley about 2.5 years now, so I didn't time it quite that awesome, but I also had to get out of a place in Troy, which I did sell right away before I got into Berkeley. So I've seen that happen.
Yeah, I was renting before that, and I saw the market start to go up.
You saw the writing on the wall.
I better buy a house now. I'm going to be mad that I didn't.
So how do you like the Ferndale area?
I like it. I like it a lot. It's nice where I'm at. I can ride my bike to bars really easily. Now Hazel Park's starting to get pretty popular. Go over to see Sellerman's and, you know, Mabel Gray's and Joe Bar and all that stuff that's happening over there. So like I'm kind of like in a good central location where I can either walk or ride my bike anywhere.
I'm sure I'd be a little more regular over there if I was a little closer to that too. I totally get it.
Yeah, yeah.
I see why that area is getting some more excitement happening in there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I just Mabel Gray's just opened up that, what is it called? Doug's Delight ice cream shop.
So. That's right. I got to go check that out.
It's cool. It's nice. Yeah.
Who doesn't like an ice cream shop?
Exactly.
I'm kind of spoiled. And stuff too. Oh, they do. Okay. Yeah. It's not just ice cream.
No, yeah.
I remember reading an article about it as they were saying they were working on another project.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice.
So very cool. Okay. Why don't you give me a little background about how you got into the beer industry and kind of a little bit of your resume kind of up until now?
Well, obviously homebrewed, and then living in Grosse Pointe Park, I also spent a lot of time at the Ye Olde Tap Room.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Very historic and old school.
That's where I learned a lot about beer. When I first started hanging out there, it was mainly like whatever was cheap, PBR, High Life, whatever. I hung out there so much that I started to get to know the bartenders. So I started going there, you know, more and more, and they would give me different stuff every time I was in there. Like, why are you drinking PBR when we have all these other beers? So I learned quite a bit about true to style traditional beers from hanging out there for many, many years. Then, you know, through there, I found out about craft beer and kind of, you know, at the time, probably Dragon Mead was a big one, Koonin's and stuff like that. So I started hanging out at those places.
Yeah, the cool kids and kind of like the wave to a craft beer on the east side.
Yeah.
That's what I always kind of call them.
Yeah, yeah. you know, and through Koonin's, then I found out a lot more about home brewing. So I started getting interested in that. And I have a, you know, a couple friends who were into it, and they told me.
So you shopped at their shop there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Brewing World?
Brewing World, yep, yep. Yeah, and then through that, you know, after that, there's so many – you find out so much more about home brewing.
Where you definitely.
Started home brewing, then became pretty good friends with Greg Burke at the Woodward Avenue Brewery. The Web was helping him with originally with beer festivals like the Michigan Brewers Guild festivals, the picking whiskey and DIY, just throwing kegs around and setting up coil boxes.
Okay, so all the stuff right in their backyard and the guild stuff. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. And he saw that I was a hard worker and was actually interested. His assistant at the time had quit. At the time, I was in civil engineering, and I absolutely hated it. It was miserable. He said I could come in one day a week and I could be his assistant. So I told the civil engineering people that I was going to school for, you know, drafting or whatever, AutoCAD stuff or more civil engineering stuff, but I was actually going to learn.
Oh, that's awesome.
To brew. And I spent quite a few, you know, I worked there for quite a while. About 3-4 months, maybe even 6 months into it, the Great Baraboo job opened up. And at the time, no other brewers wanted it. They didn't have a very good reputation. The owners, you know, there was iffy about them sometimes too. I had nothing to lose.
Oldest brewery in Macomb County, by the way.
Yeah, oldest brewery. They've been around forever.
90s.
A lot of good brewers have been through there too. It's just that they at one point had hired a brewer that didn't know too much about brewing. So they had to kind of work out of that a little bit. Before me, Adam Beretta was in there.
Oh, yeah. I know Adam pretty well.
Yeah, no, at Axel. He was in there before I was, and then I took over after him. He was leaving. I don't remember how we found out about the job.
He went to 51 North when he left there.
Yeah, 51 North, and then now he's at
Axel. He's at Axel, yeah.
I don't remember how we found out about it. I think actually through Todd Parker, to tell you the truth, or Adam himself. I don't remember. But so – I went and interviewed for it. I didn't think I was ready for it. And Greg Burke kept telling me I was. And he's like, just do it, just do it. And at the time, I was also buying the house we were just talking about.
Yikes. Oh, okay.
So I couldn't quit. I couldn't quit my civil engineering job because I wouldn't be able to get my loan. Baraboo ended up hiring me. Another reason why a lot of brewers didn't want it is the hours are not that great.
You have to brew at night there, don't you?
Yeah. I was able to eventually work to early in the morning, but the fermenters are in the middle of the restaurant, which you know.
Yep, I do.
So you have to work before you're open. So a lot of brewers didn't want to do that. A lot of brewers don't want to work overnights or early mornings or whatever.
It's like getting a bad shift at a factory.
Yeah, exactly. but I was like, you know what? I got nothing to lose. I'm just going to go for it. So they hired me. I took it. I was working there from – maybe about midnight till about 6-7 o'clock in the morning, and then going to my other job because I couldn't quit that job until I got my loan.
Wow.
So I did both of those for a little over a month. So pretty much no life whatsoever. Wow. Trying to run
and no sleep.
Not much. Luckily, Adam had left me, you know, with tanks full. At the time they weren't selling as much beer. It wasn't awful, and it happened to be in the summertime, which the summertime for them is their slow season. So it wasn't awful, but it was still a lot of work. But then after that month, I quit the civil engineering job and became a brewer full time. That was about 7 years now.
Oh wow, so, 7 years. Okay.
I worked with and at the time too, I didn't feel like I had enough experience just to quit WAB, and just do Baraboo. I felt like I would just be in a little bubble there. So I continued to work with Greg, part-time. I would work with him, you know, 1-2 days a week, sometimes 3 days a week while still working at the Baraboo. So I'd get done with a shift at the Baraboo about noon usually. I did start doing midnights there, and I did not like it. So between Greg and I, we kind of came up with some stuff that I was able to brew and get most stuff done as long as I was in between like 4 and 6 a.m. And then the longer I was there, the more efficient I became. A lot of times I wouldn't be able – I could start at like 6-7 o'clock. And I did that for – I worked both Baraboo and Woodward Avenue Brewery for I think 4 years, almost 5 years, something like that.
Wow.
That was a lot too. But it was okay, but you know, it worked out. Greg knew I was still working, you know, full time, so he wasn't like completely kicking my ass at the WAB, but I would go in and help. And then that way I felt like I was still learning.
That's a good way to continue your learning. Yeah. I mean, he's a very experienced brewer, been in the business a long time.
Yeah, he's been brewing 20 years.
So here you're learning all that from him while you're playing at two established places, basically.
Yeah.
When you think about it, places that had fairly established clientele, I would say, both.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the WAB, you know, they've, 16 years? Or no, at the time it was 16 years. So now it's probably 20 years.
20, yeah. They're at 20. Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah, I think they just had their 20th anniversary.
We have a whole lot of stuff in Macomb and Oakland County that's now in that double digits range when you think about it.
Yeah, Baraboo was, you know, I think they just had their – so Royal Oak Brewery is having, what, their 23rd, I think?
Yeah, because so, Royal Oak Brewery is 1995. Yeah. I want to say maybe Baraboo was
– I think it's 97.
97? Okay.
I think.
I don't know. This is where around there, yeah. This is where I'd pull out my book. Mm-hmm. Detroit Beer, History of Beer in the Motor City. You can buy it at DetroitBeerBook.com. Anyway, I usually have to like look at my book and say, what did I write in there?
Yeah.
Because that was how I remember that. Somewhere I have a cool chart and it has all this crap on it. I really should like have that on my phone and I could like pull it up when I get asked that. But
it's all right. It's more fun trying to figure it out. Right?
Oh, yeah, totally, right?
But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 97. So they've been around a long time too. But as well, I was there that, you know, I started off, they were doing maybe 400 to 500 barrels a year. I got them up to almost over 700 barrels a year while I was there. So it was kind of nice.
Baraboo, you're saying up to 700. Yeah. Got you. Okay.
Cause it was a place that was, you know, they just thought craft beer, the owners are great. I got along with the owners. I'm not saying anything bad. They just, at the time they didn't know much about beer. And they just the guy they hired to brew didn't know much about beer either. So they, instead of realizing that he was just not making good beer, they just thought craft beer wasn't popular. So they started pushing everything else. They started pushing
buckets of beer of other people's beer and mixed drinks and
Bud Light.
Stickers
on the sides of the fermenters, posters promoting, you know, whatever, Labatt, you know, stuff like that. They'd have. Yeah, exactly. They did the buckets of beers.
I remember when Adam Beretta first came in there, and he actually called me. So he asked someone, maybe it was Todd Parker, I don't know, what's Steve Johnson's phone number? I want him to bring our group in there.
Oh, yeah.
And then he called me, and he was so nice on the phone. Like, I didn't really know him that well. And you know, he's just like, hey, man, I'm coming in here. I realize this place didn't have a good reputation, but I'd love you to bring a group in. I'd love to host a group of yours. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool, man. Like, sure, I'll come in with people and we'll just check it out. We'll have some fun. It'll be great, right? I think I did that two or three times in maybe the tenure he was there. And it just happened to be that my schedule worked with tours that I could bring groups in. Like,
life doesn't
always – you know, sometimes I'll do a couple in a year at the same place and then – it just won't fit. I won't do it for a couple more years just because of the way the schedule works. But it's not like a personal thing.
No,
we had a good experience out of that, right? Yeah. Like I think he kind of set some groundwork.
Yeah, Adam cleaned that place up quite a bit. You know, he had a lot of work to do.
And then you obviously had even more, you know, continued that on. That's great.
Yeah. I took over and there was still just, you know, it was not taken care of for a long time. There was still a lot of stuff that needed
to be. That stuff takes years. I think people forget that because most – beer people would have just forgotten about it and moved on. And in a world where we have other options.
Yeah, exactly.
You're kind of like, well, you got to give me a reason to come back, right? Yeah, where if we were in some small little town in the middle of nowhere, Michigan, I don't know, you could get away with more of that because that might be it.
Oh, yeah. So you could get away with it. And there were some people that said they still liked the beer that was being brewed when it was not good. they wished it was still like that. It's like, well.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I guess it's – I mean some of it was sour beer, you know.
Sure.
Peppery, right. You know, stuff like that. So who knows. But, yeah, I still had quite a bit of cleaning. We had a – I had them tear out – they were doing a lot of renovation and at one point while I was there. And I had them take it – we took out all the old trunk lines for the lines.
Oh, yeah.
Because those things were – I don't think they'd ever been changed and not taken care of on top of that.
Right.
They had the old brass mushroom towers. So, you know, those things, you know, the brass faucets, all that stuff, that's not good for the beer. So we got all new stainless steel stuff, new lines put in, and that immediately just made the beer that much better anyways. You know, between Adam and I, you try cleaning it, but from years and years of it not being taken care of, I remember cleaning those lines and there'd just be chunks of stuff coming out of it. I'd have to run water through it And because all the caustic and acid and stuff was breaking everything up that was inside of it. So I would have to like run water over and over again for like sometimes up to like a half an hour.
Oh my gosh.
An hour just to get all that out of there before I could put a beer on. So but now it's in great condition. My assistant at the time, Chad, he took over and he's still working on
it. Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yeah. He's taken apart a lot of those old, Grundy, serving tanks.
Okay.
And getting new gaskets for them, all kinds of stuff like that. So he's continuing with it as well.
I was there. Let's see. I think last time I was there was like opening day. I don't know how at opening day I ended up there because I have a friend who lives in New Baltimore, and I wouldn't say that's a halfway point, but somehow we came on that, and then they had, you know, great opening day specials.
We
sat up there at the bar, watched the game in our Tiger gear. And we had a good time. I don't think I had a beer I didn't like. I liked everything I drank. I wasn't trying to go crazy or anything.
Yeah. Chad's doing a great job.
It was a good standard beer list. I don't think I had anything exotic, but I'm not sure I was seeking anything exotic on a day like that.
Yeah, it's definitely – he does – you know, like even me, we do a lot of traditional, true to style.
Sure.
And especially in a place like that too, you're still kind of training new palates, you know, in a way.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, even when I was there at the time, Baraboo was the only brewery on that side of town.
Most definitely.
You know, now even – well, besides Sherwood's. They got Sherwood. But that's almost that's almost another world when you go past Hall Road. So.
I mean, I'm sure when I did that, it was something – well, I probably did Dragon Me Coonan and Great Baraboo was what I did.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And then when Falling Down Beer Company, one of the sponsors here, a podcast Detroit – when they opened it in Warren, I would put them in the mix and I would do like a Warren beer triangle. And then if the opportunity came up, I might throw Baraboo kind of back into it. And then when they had the kind of the Clinton Township location of Coonan opened, occasionally I've kind of used them. Sherwood's a good, you're right. Sherwood's a good clip from there.
Yeah.
And now you got three breweries in St. Clair Shores.
Yeah, exactly.
Two and a half. No, I didn't say that. I'm just kidding. Three breweries in St. Clair Shores plus, I don't know, Atwater and the Parker. That's kind of far
that's
down.
A little bit down the road, yeah. But yeah, I mean, like Sherwood's, it seems like it's close, but trying to get up there sometimes.
It's a distance.
From Baraboo is
I mean, I'm from Utica. My parents live in Shelby Township. Yeah, so when they first opened, I used to take them there a lot because we didn't have anything else like that over there. And I had friends who lived in Sterling Heights, so like they would meet us there for dinner. And I've known Ray, Lisa, and Corey. Corey.
Yeah.
Corey for, really since they started.
Yeah.
And
they've done a great job at creating a community up there, but it's the only thing up there that has that. Well, I mean, I'm sure now you can get more craft beer at some of the bars around there, but they're the only brewery up there.
You got to go a distance between. It's funny that Brooks Brewing, which is in Shelby Township,
Brooks too,
but that's a pretty good distance from where Sherwood is.
Yeah,
I think people forget that, even though it says they're both Shelby Township, like Brooks is really like on the edge of Shelby Township.
Yeah,
kind of so is Sherwood. They're both on the opposite edges.
Yeah.
You know, like I wouldn't bicycle between the two.
No, that might be difficult.
Yeah. Plus, that's all mile roads, and people would kill you in their big hick mobiles and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't say that either. Sorry. all right. Anyway, I got a whole.
Up north.
We would do a whole hour conversation on that big time. I just went on last weekend. I was up in Grand Rapids on the south side. I created a 2-day bike tour that I was testing out with my wife and I. So we biked like 65 miles in 2 days, basically, where we biked to breweries and back.
Okay.
We kind of hotel in between, or our hotel was in between, and then we kind of went two different directions each day. Anyway, some of that was on some back roads and some of that was on trails. So anyway, being up in there and you get on some of those back roads, man, and people come by, right? And they don't really care that you're on a bike,
exactly.
Right?
They're probably annoyed that you're there.
Yeah, they probably are. Like, we're really not blocking them to people on bikes, you know, and it's totally in the morning, like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I probably have my opinions of that.
That
I bike people in Detroit all the time, and I have way less issue than if I was out in Macomb County or Oakland County biking. Like when I lived in Troy for 10 years, I hated biking around there
because
I constantly had issues. Like here where you and I live, it's a little more urban and tighter and you can kind of – it's a little more bike friendly.
Yeah, you actually have bike lanes.
Bike lanes, definitely in Ferndale. And
I just noticed there's a much more downtown too. They didn't used to have that.
They're trying. Yeah. You know, they want to – basically, they want like Ferndale, Berkeley, Royal Oak. They want all those communities, Huntington Woods, even Oak Park. They want them all to be kind of interconnected with bike lanes. And then they also want to tie into that MOGO bike share system that's in Detroit now.
Yeah.
I'd say Ferndale, though, where you live, is a bit ahead of the game. And they have more defined bike lanes. They even have that green paint thing going on in spots and some – barriers, definitely down like Livernois.
I think it was Cass had like there was parking, but then in between the parking,
it's a protected bike lane, is what it's called.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. So they're hoping
used to have that.
They're hoping eventually they could do some of that out here. Oh God, yes.
Packs of wild dogs.
I'd give you stories about that all day long, but then it would turn into my biking interview and not the Jeremy interview.
Yeah, that's true.
And then that's not really why we're here, is it? Okay, so. You had a lot of fun through Baraboo. You'd done some cool work through Woodward Avenue Brewery. So when did you come to Royal Oak Brewery?
I've been to Royal Oak Brewery now for a year.
That before you showed up. I'm thinking it's basically a year, isn't it?
Yep.
Like I was at panel that you'll have this show probably won't air for a couple of days. But if you were listening to this live, the five of you that could be listening to this live on podcastdetroit.com right now – Jeremy will host panel tonight at Royal Oak Brewery. And I want to say was that panel maybe a year ago
where
Tim came out and started saying, hey, this is going to be our new brewer.
Yeah.
And we were all excited.
Yeah, it was an exciting move. So,
you knew Tim?
Yeah, right? I knew Tim from brewing. And Greg Burke was really good friends with Tim too.
So Tim's the general manager there now. He was the full-time brewer for a long time.
Yeah, he's been there for a long, long time.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you that.
20 years.
Yeah.
20-some years, yeah.
But since I wanted to have Jeremy talk, we didn't invite Tim on the show. So Tim, if you're listening, that's why we did it that way. Because I wanted to – yeah, it's not a personal thing. Oh, maybe it is a personal thing. No, I'm kidding. But So you're here at Royal Oak Brewery, and so they opened in 1995. They're oldest brewery in Oakland County, right? There's our big stat that if you and I were doing a tour at your fine establishment, we'd probably say that to people, wouldn't we? They have, what is that? I always forget, 7-barrel system?
No, it's 14-barrel.
Oh, shit. What am I? 14? I'm way off.
Yeah.
Okay. So I used to say my generic answer all the time is 7, right?
A lot of people have 7s. Yeah,
that's for sure.
Detroit's a 7.
That's right. Detroit's a 7.
Baraboo's a 7. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's Detroit's weird. It's hectoliters too, I think, or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, and it's in the basement. You got to duck down all the time. Mm-hmm. But same owners.
Yep.
So to kind of trace that back, originally the beer companies, and they started with Rochester Mills Beer Co., right? Yeah.
It was Royal Oak.
No, I'm sorry. It was Royal Oak Brewery.
Royal Oak was first.
Yeah. Royal Oak was first. Then it was Rochester Mills Beer Company. That's right, because –
They just had their 20th.
Yeah, that's right. Let me get my years right.
Yeah.
I've been regulars at both. So, and then they opened Detroit Beer Co. like, I don't know, what was that, 2002, somewhere in there?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then eventually the two partners, Drew and Mike, kind of split off, and Drew kept Royal Oak Brewery Detroit Beer Co. then eventually opened up Lockhart's Barbecue, which is essentially next door to Royal Oak Brewery. Yep. And now they have another Lockhart's in Lake Orion. So fun history that you get to kind of come into a place that's been around the block a bit that has probably pretty good resources,
people that
get it.
Yeah. That's a huge thing too. That was the hours at the Baraboo were kind of starting to get to me.
Sure.
4 o'clock in the morning. Is it?
And you got a wife, right? You got a kid.
So
Kids?
No, just one kid.
I don't know.
She's 3 years old.
Or seems like three that she's 3 years old, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. But yeah, it was a good move. It was time to move on. It was, you know, I was kind of getting, and I didn't realize it at the time while I was at the Baraboo, but that was really starting to burn me out. I was, you know, it was a 7-barrel system, so you're brewing twice.
You're brewing
as much.
A lot.
It was just me. I did have an assistant, but even Chad, who took over like that last like year or so, he was busy with Red Tap. He helped start and, you know, like get, you know, Red Tap Draft Solutions. Draft equipment.
Yeah.
Work on draft equipment to clean lines, stuff like that. Like Chad was working a lot with them, so I didn't have him much at the Baraboo. And even then, they never really wanted to pay anybody more than like one day a week kind of thing. So it was only one day a week I had him there, and the rest of it was all me. I was pretty much working 6 days a week there, sometimes 7.
That's hard.
Weird hours. And it's like I said at the time, and not even until I was over at the Royal Oak Brewery, I didn't realize how burnt out I was actually getting from working those hours. And
yeah, because you were just in the mode of doing it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You just put your head down and do it.
Yeah.
I was happy enough to be making beer. So,
yeah. And getting paid.
Yeah, and getting paid for it. So that was awesome. Definitely, like you said, you know, the clientele's established. They have 500 Mud Club members.
I mean, you're just coming into that, right? Yeah. Like, wow, yeah, okay, yeah, all exactly. These people are here. They like it. They have certain affinities towards certain beers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I get that of being a, you know, I'm a Mud Club member. I've been a Mud Club member for a couple of years here at Royal Oak Brewery now that I live closer to it. And it's really funny when you move from one established place to another established place. So in my case, I lived in Troy and I was a regular at Rochester Mills Beer Company, like a really regular, like part of their bike club, everything. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was out of there. There was a stretch where like I might be there 3 days a week. If I was riding, like we would ride Tuesday, Thursdays, and a lot of Saturdays or Sundays. There were times where I might do that. I got to – you get to know everyone really well that way. And that was what I was always looking for out of a brewery. So when I moved over here, one, I felt guilty that I was leaving a place that I was a regular at. But two, I instantly felt welcome coming to Royal Oak Brewery because I could feel that same – community aspect of it. Right. There were regulars with different names, right? So I could come in and kind of feel at home right away. I've always felt like that. Plus, I was already, from a tour perspective, bringing groups in, of course. So I did know a certain amount of people. I just wasn't as regular. So that part of it had to be nice to come in to that.
It is. Definitely is. And a lot of great people, a lot of great Mud Club members, the Royal Club members. All that stuff.
So at Royal Oak Brewery, just to explain this to people, they have two tiers to their mug club. So they have a general mug club, which most people are familiar with. So you get a 20-ounce mug, extra 4 ounces of beer, $1 off of beer. Got a party once a year.
500 mug club members with a 2-year waiting list.
Yeah.
Year and a half, 2-year waiting list.
Yeah. The fact that I'm even on it as a member is a pretty cool deal, actually. And then you have a second tier, which is called the Royal Club, where they drink out of a goblet. It's numbered. You only allow 50 of those.
Yep.
And you guys brew, you and your assistant Richard, brew a special beer once a month just for those 50, correct?
Yep, correct, yep.
And then they get kind of a special, a little fancier Mug Club party ounces of beer and the discount and all that good stuff. So I was a member of that for a couple of years too. And I have to say that's pretty neat when I tell people about it.
Yeah, it is.
Those 50 feel kind of special
because
they know they're getting to drink something.
Yeah, they get all their every beer we put on for $3 in that chalice.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet perk. You know, not many – I don't come across breweries that really do it that way.
No.
And I always found it pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
And it also gives you an opportunity to brew something on a kind of a smaller scale.
Yeah. We usually at least once a month. I mean, sometimes it's hard in the winter because we have to do it out back. We don't really have a pilot system or space for a pilot system.
I never really think about that.
Yeah,
that's true.
We'll brew a beer, take the wort from whatever beer we're brewing that day. Richard and I will take it out back. Because we don't really have anything for mashing in for that kind of stuff, and we don't want to do extract beers for them. So we take the wort from like a Kolsch or whatever, take that out back, boil it, add different hops to it, do some different stuff with it, and then that'll be their beer. Fermented in a brink and stuff like that. It's fun. There's like this past one we did a milkshake creamsicle IPA thing.
Oh, wow. Like that's weird.
Yeah. It tastes like a creamsicle. We used pretty much all like real ingredients, you know, like traditional like ingredients. It's there's a ton of lactose in it for the creaminess, about a pound of orange peel and like a 15 gallon batch. So that seems like a lot. Yeah, it is. And then we used all Citra hops for it.
Okay.
So it turned out pretty good. That one's selling pretty
well. Well, I think the Citra would play well with that orange peel.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard of a couple other brewers playing around a little bit with that. That seems like another little creative space they're doing with a hoppy beer.
Yeah. Well, after the New England IPAs have come, the milkshake IPAs. Which we're getting ready to brew one too. I just haven't had space for it yet. We're going to do a pineapple mango milkshake IPA.
Ooh, fun.
So, yeah, it'd be fun.
Okay.
We typically, and you know, because you hang out, we typically do a lot of traditional true to style beers.
Like what we're drinking right now, exactly. Which is a great German Kolsch.
Yeah.
Kolsch, German, you know, style Kolsch, German, I should say, style, to say it correctly.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then what else do you have with the
I have today? A steam beer, which technically, well, it's called Grand Trunk Steam Beer. It's a California Common. One of the only.
That's hint for you should grab the growler and crack it. And you did that pretty well. Like I didn't even have to point. I didn't have to pull in my non-existent assistant to do it. So a California Common or a steam beer.
It's a truly unique, 100% uniquely American beer. It's a lager brewed at ale temperatures. Brewed. I shouldn't say brewed. It's a lager fermented.
Fermented at ale temperatures. I always sometimes when I'm explaining that beer to people, because you know I'm not a brewer, but and I'm a tour operator, beer tour operator, so I hear it all the time. Sometimes I flip that around when I say it.
Yeah, I did.
Right?
I just corrected Tim the other day when he said it too.
It's easy to say it way because it's what we call a hybrid style.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a lager yeast brewed at ale temperatures, meaning
fermenting.
Shit. See, I just said it wrong too.
It's a lager.
But I can swear on here because it's a podcast.
Fuck.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There you go. See, that totally changed. Wow, you just totally relaxed when I said that.
It's a lager
fermented at ale temperatures.
So it's a lager yeast that's fermented at 68 degrees. The lager actually lets out a little bit of fruitiness to it. It's got to be balanced. There's a decent amount of hops to it, not overly hoppy, but a decent amount, like a firm bitterness to it. And it's an easy drinker.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Look, what I always forget, where's the alcohol level kind of kick
this
in?
This is 5.2.
Yeah, so it's great. It's not over the top or anything from an alcohol level.
I love making beers you can drink. Like, you know, beers with a lot of flavor, but you can still have a few of them.
I seem to have a good weekend in Grand Rapids hitting some breweries I hadn't hit before that all of them, the majority of them, seem to play that way. And I was just like, I'd like to think I was smart enough to know that, but I didn't. I just knew places. I went and checked them out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hope that stays as a common thing, more breweries doing that. I mean, you can always have your crazy exotic breweries.
I get it.
But I'd love to see more. You know, some of these were in some smaller towns where I see why they would do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I even went in some places where they were priced good. Like I went to this place called Five Lakes Brewing. In
I know the name,
A town south of Grand Rapids by Five Lakes. I don't know. I'm totally screwing that up. I think it's Door, Michigan with two R's. But I'm probably saying that wrong. Sorry, Five Lakes. But I had a good experience there. People were really nice.
You can always look it up.
It's on the internet. Yeah, no doubt, right? Yeah. Do that Google thing. Yeah. Ask Alexa or Google powered speakers if that's your thing, right, or Siri. Anyway. They had a pretty big beer list. They had some hard cider and they had spirits, which I found out was all vodka where they put different things in it to make it taste like it wasn't vodka, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
They had like all these funny – so and anyway, their beer –
there was a Hard Luck Vodka for a long time where they did root beer, Swedish Fish.
I bought my sister the Swedish Fish one before back in the day.
More like orange something.
Like a creamsicle one, I think.
Yeah, they did a creamsicle one too.
So that's kind of what this place was doing, Five Lakes Brewing. Yeah. They had this list that had all these I wish I took a picture of it. They had all these funny names to them that were like a play on like a, you know, a mass-produced liquor, right? But so it seemed like they understood their clientele. And their beer list was they had some higher alcohol stuff, but they had a huge amount of lower alcohol, like a red ale, a brown ale. They had a pilsner. They had a pint of Pilsner, and it was $3 every day.
Oh, wow.
I know. I hadn't seen that. Like, I had to get that first. I'm like, wow, okay. I'm going to try that, right? Yeah. They had a Kolsch, too. It was – I don't know. It was all right. Well, I wouldn't say it was quite as probably polished as yours is. I mean, that's a recipe you guys do all the time and always have on.
Yeah.
But they had a pretty good list in there for what I consider – I think that brewery's been there maybe a couple years, serves a smaller area down there. But it made me feel good coming out of there feeling like I got to try stuff and I didn't drop $50 on a couple beers. I mean, and I'd like to think some breweries could learn something from that. I get it. We're in, you know, more metro areas where it's tighter and lots of competition and there's more costs. You got higher rent. You got to charge more. I know. No one needs to school me on that. I get that.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're in some of these smaller towns, it burns me if I go in there and like every beer is $6.50 and in a 10-ounce pour and it's a Kolsch, you know. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Like we all know it's not that expensive to make a Kolsch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what are you doing? And then their mug club like – is some crazy price, and I'm like, whoa, okay. Yeah, so
Tim and I were actually talking about that the other day too, about how some of these places are just so expensive. And is there really a need for that? Like beers, you want to drink beer, you want to have fun with beer, you want to have a couple of them with your friends. And
I don't want to just choose my one beer, and then that's all my budget is going to kind of allow me, right?
And I know that. I mean, you know, you get a nice Russian Imperial Stout or
something. Oh yeah, I understand.
While, if I go out, I'm going out to have a couple beers with my friends. Like I don't want to break the bank either, but I want to drink good beer. I want to drink good craft beer. I don't want to have to drink, which you know, I not that I don't drink PBR and I don't.
Sure.
I'll have a.
By the way, there's a 30 pack of that in the fridge here at Podcast Detroit.
Let's start drinking that. We got to finish these growlers first.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, it is afternoon. We got plenty of time.
Mm-hmm. Have panel until 7, right?
I don't know. You tell me, man. You're the boss of panel. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, monthly at Royal Oak Brewery, Tim, Richard will be there. GM Tim will be there. Wait, what did I just say? That's what I'm.
Richard and Tim. Yeah.
and Jeremy and you.
I'm sorry. That goes between Detroit and.
Yeah, I'm sorry. All three of you will be there, and it's a monthly beer tasting, basically. Yeah.
We do it the second week of the month?
Yeah. Second Wednesday of the month.
Yep.
You pay $10, and you get to hang out with a lot of cool people, and the brewers. We'll bring out – sometimes it's a style theme. It's just some kind of theme. It could totally vary to what it is. Yeah. We don't know. Different. I know. I'm not even going to ask you what it is, right? My wife goes, are you going to ask him all that on the air? I'm like, no, I'm just going to talk about panel.
Yeah,
I'm not going to break the rules and try to get it out of you and then go text everybody,
right? It's usually a surprise. We try to make it a surprise. It makes it a little more fun. But we've done everything from –
Although if you just went shopping for it, if I went and looked in your car right now, I could probably figure shit out.
It's already at the brewery.
Oh, damn it.
It's
okay.
It's a cooler there. I got to keep it cold. It'll be too warm out there.
So I get to go to that almost every month. I don't know. There's a few months I'll have things going on. I try to actually schedule stuff around so that my second Wednesday of the month is pretty tight. Like actually a lot of times I'm doing this podcast on that same day during the day. And then I know I got that at night and that's kind of my – fun day during the week and the power of working for yourself, I guess you can do shit that way. But that's a cool experience. It's usually a core group of people. You know, some people kind of float in and out of it.
Yeah, we get a lot of the same people over and over again. Like I said, we've done everything from, you know, Belgians, just all Belgian beers, really high-end Belgian beers to not that long ago, we did all American lagers. And, some of the people
– Last month was Mexican.
Last month was Mexican lagers. And some people kind of get upset about that. But that's how you train your palate. Like how many times have you really sat down and tried all these different Mexican lagers together? Everybody's had a Corona, but how many times have you had it next to a Dos Equis or whatever? And that's how you train your palate. That's how you get it better to taste other beers. So
that's the only way I've really learned. I kind of tell people that a lot, right? And, you know – and. I just like to drink at the end of the day. Like I'm not a BJCP certified judge. That's cool if that's your thing. I'm not here bashing it.
No, exactly.
But at the end of the day, like I think I've learned from being a tour. I just like to hang out with people. Like I like the social aspect of it. And if it means we're sitting down and learning stuff that way in a fun way, meaning I didn't have to write a book report about it at the end of it, right? And there's some people that's what they like to do. I'll get that on tours sometime where guys will have note cards or like a notepad and they're taking notes.
And Untappd.
Or they're using Untappd the whole time. And that's cool. I have to admit, over the years, I've kind of taken those things away from what I do and I don't do any of that. Just like as a biker, I don't use Map My Ride or Strava or any of those things. I just ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. That's just what I want to do. Yeah, so that's my simplistic take on it. But going to a simple tasting like this is about as
we
close
make it
of it.
Fun.
Yeah. Little history thrown in there.
You know, we all, yeah, exactly. Tim is a
especially if Tim's really going.
Yeah, exactly. You get those times where Tim just He's a lot of fun. He likes to drink. He likes to have fun with people. He loves people. And he's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to beer. I've learned already just so much just working with him. And I mean, I know a decent amount of beer too, but that guy, like, he just knows so much.
That's what's great about this industry. That's what's great about the Detroit area is that we have a lot of people in this market that have been in the game for a while. Yeah. And then you're sort of in the middle now, if you think about it, where that is. And that's great because you can see it on both ends. You can see the new guys and they come up with energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're open to new ideas. You're kind of caught. You're kind of partway in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And then you got people like Tim and, you know, people that started some of these breweries that have been there for, say, 20 years. Yeah. And that's another, you know, like when you get to a certain point in your age, you need to understand how to appreciate that on both sides.
Yeah.
That's definitely something I've learned from running tours is that I get customers at all ends of those spectrums. And I like to learn from them. Just the same, just like, you know, I'm sure you have customers giving you suggestions, asking you questions, giving you knowledge. That's cool stuff, especially if a more established brewery.
Yeah, yeah.
You're probably getting more of those people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, coming in and out.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, like we're there, the Royal Oak Brewery with Tim and all his friends too. I've learned quite a bit about beer that way. But then also obviously, there's all these new styles coming up.
Sure.
I don't want to be – and even Tim understands this too, and you know everybody else at the brewery understands this. We can keep making Steam and Kolsch and these beers that are true to style and traditional. And I feel like this is what got me into craft beer, and that's why I love it so much, are these styles. But there's new stuff out there. People want new stuff, and if they're not going to get it, or if we make it,
they're going to go somewhere else, aren't they?
So you know, even when we made a New England IPA last year. And it was one of those things to where, like, I noticed even Lockhart's, who we mentioned before, is the same owner. They had, you know, three or four New England IPAs on. So everybody's going over there to get New England IPAs, and they're not coming to our brewery to get New England IPA. So we made one. And I was going to make another one this year, but now, like, the milkshake IPA thing is kind of big. And I'm going to figure I'd try that before – I try to get that one in before it's like what a huge thing and everybody's making.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Try to stay ahead of it.
So your goal is you obviously have a certain amount of standards you got to keep on all the time, and then you're trying to rotate in
a handful of stuff. We don't have to be defined by these like New England IPAs and the milkshake IPAs or the weird beers. I mean, I make – you know, you've been in. I make some of them. We did a chocolate peanut butter porter. I just did
a habanero IPA. That was a great beer.
I'll be making it again. That sells great. The creamsicle beer, I might try to make a batch for that for everybody else besides just the Royal Club. And that's a good thing about the Royal Club sometimes too is I can make these beers.
See how people respond.
Then maybe we can – that's what happened with the chocolate peanut butter porter. The coconut porter, you know, I've made that before.
Oh, yeah. I remember the coconut porter.
We make all these beers, but we don't have to – that's not our focus. Our focus is a good, clean, traditional, true-to-style beer, something you can have more than one of and not feel like
– And compliment food.
Yeah,
because you're a full-blown restaurant in there. You got a lot of food customers coming in.
Yeah, you can have food. You can eat. You can drink. It's just – it's a fun environment there.
So in the summer definitely tonight will be part of that. You guys will have a summer concert series, right?
We do the summer concert
series. One of the best patios in Royal Oak. I don't want to sound like I'm giving the Royal Oak tour here, but it really is. You guys really have a great patio. It's a reason I come in on nights like tonight. Starting at, 8:30 p.m. tonight, you got someone. If you go to the website, you can look that up.
Yep.
So it's $3 pints when you're outside. Yep. You can listen to music and I think that's a couple times a month throughout
the –
Two times a month throughout the summer.
We always post on our Instagram and Facebook page when they're going on and stuff like that.
So some other fun regular things you guys do, you do Kolsching Hour.
Kolsching Hour.
Let's talk about that for a bit.
Which is this Saturday.
Which, by the way, I never get to go to.
You
got
to come.
I know. It's horrible. I'm a horrible person. I love Kolsch. But yet you do them on Saturdays and I'm always running a tour.
That's the second Saturday of every month from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sometimes it goes longer than that depending on how much fun we're having. We serve Kolsch in traditional glasses called Stangens.
Can you spell that? No, I'm
kidding. S-T-A-N-G.
Okay.
I don't think there's an E on the end of that.
I'm not sure, but I'm going to look it up later.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's not. And then we also – and then we walk around in the traditional carrying cases of those stangens.
So it's a circular – okay.
Yeah. Circular. It's a circular thing that fits the stangens.
Where did you guys get those? Do you remember?
We ordered them offline.
Oh, okay. Power of the web.
Yeah, exactly. Same with the Colchin glasses. Tim found a hardware store online that was selling them for super cheap.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man. Would never think that.
Somebody that worked at the hardware store maybe was from Germany or went to Germany and was like, man, we should get some of these and for themselves. And they got too much and now they sell them. Who knows? But
you guys win.
Yeah, exactly. Which if we, you know, the price didn't matter with it. That's happened to be a bonus with it. And then the other ones we bought from Fra Kolsch. We actually, you can buy those online too.
Okay.
Special crowns.
Okay.
And we have two Mug Club members from Germany,
right?
Lucas and Benjamin, who they sometimes – they've actually brought me a Kranz.
I just call them the German guys. Yeah. I forget that it's Lucas and Benjamin. Yeah. But
great guys. Great.
They're real cool guys. They actually came on – I think it was my Boattoberfest event I did with the Detroit Princess Riverboat last October. I think that was when they came on. They showed up at that. And it was really funny – I think they didn't like they knew they know me because they'll show up at panel and mm-hmm. and they're regulars at the brewery, right? But I don't think they put it together at first. And then they walked up and like I literally like as my wife and I are checking in people as they're coming on, they're like, "Hey, I know you."
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, "Hey, yeah, this is like my event that you're coming on right now, and you're going to drink a bunch of my beer." So then, you know, we had some nice conversations that time, and you know, I had some German beer on that being a fall beer tasting event, but it was a lot of American takes fall seasonals. That's typically how I'm kind of doing that. They had a good time at that, though. Good. It's kind of neat to see them out of the brewery element. Yeah. They drank a lot. So, like, the first thing I said to them was, hey, if you run out of beer tickets, just come back over to me and I'll kind of take care of you. So mm-hmm. they were kind of excited.
Yeah.
Although, in theory, I'm pretty liberal. I mean, you're really only on the boat for 3 hours. And you get 15 4-ounce pours. That's 60 ounces of beer. Like, that's pretty solid for that amount of time. But regardless, so Kolschen House, you guys get pretty good crowds for that. And premise
usually
would be that
– patio. It's always on the patio unless it rains.
Right.
We serve it just like they do in Cologne, where you get a coaster on
– Holma Kolsch, if you didn't know that, folks.
Yeah. Holma Kolsch, sorry. You get a coaster every time you get a new Kolsch. You don't have to ask for one when your Kolsch is empty. We put another one in front of you, and we just put a check mark on your coaster.
That's the way they do it.
Yeah, and that's the way they do it. So what's the saying? You don't have to order Kolsch. You just get it.
You just get it.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's a fun event. We play music out there. We get a little rowdy, just like in true Royal Oak Brewery fashion. But it's a lot of fun. Yeah, and then in the the winter, we also do the and I know it's a far not a little bit of ways now, but we also do the frost and foam parties.
Now those I do get to go to because those are usually on a Sunday, and not a Saturday like the Kolsch hour might be.
We drink
out on the patio,
drink out
basically.
On the patio in the middle of winter, essentially. We try to
what a novel idea.
A new beer every frost and foam. We usually get a lot of people for that. Last year was cold, so it was.
Oh, yeah. I went to a couple that were really cold. Yeah, the fact that I know I went back inside at certain points.
We actually had to cancel one because it was supposed
that's
to be
right.
Low,
yeah.
Zero for most of the morning.
I want to say I went to two or three of those last year. Usually I'm not quite as busy in the winter as I am in the summer.
Yeah, those are fun too. Those are just celebrating beer, you know, essentially.
And those are two great examples of fun community stuff that you guys do and the summer concert series and just in general just having a patio.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. Let's see. What other events? I think that's about it. You got obviously Mug Club parties. What
really
am I forgetting?
Not really an event, but we do sour beers. We do traditional sour
beers.
Yeah,
that's
right. Traditional barrel-aged beers. We tap those at least once a month. Sometimes if we have room, we'll tap another one, but it's hard with the space we have. So that's the third Monday of every month we tap a new traditional sour or barrel aged, like bourbon barrel aged beer, something like that. We've been doing that now Tim started that about
a couple years ago.
Yeah, a few years ago.
I remember when that started.
Yeah.
I was pretty excited. I don't always get to catch them when they come on.
They go fast,
which is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I'm glad to see that. I want to see that.
And it's definitely picking up that people are starting to find out that we do them and we make them and we have them on. We wish we could keep them on all the time. We just don't have you know, sometimes that Brett takes can take up to a year. You know, sometimes those beers, we give those beers time, the time they need, and we don't want to rush anything. We want to put on a good beer. We'd rather have quality over quantity.
Sometimes you got to remind the customer that.
Oh, yeah.
That be there?
Yeah, I do it. I do it at least once a month.
I'm sure.
I wish we had more space to make more, but and even then, sometimes they just go bad. We just had to dump one. We had one that.
I didn't know that. I remember talking to you about it, and we all kind of we all poured one out in theory because you were pouring one out.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you need to give some to the beer gods. It helps.
No doubt, man. Maybe it'll give you good karma for a while.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it had a bad, real nail polishy kind of chemical weird thing going on in it. We didn't feel right serving it, you know.
It just goes to show how hard it is to do that, doesn't it?
You know, some people would try to hide it and still serve it. I just couldn't do that. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Yeah.
We can get another barrel. I can get some more bread. I can, you know, do another one. So it makes more sense for me to do that than it is to serve a bad beer.
So we got the Summer Beer Festival coming up in Ypsilanti.
Yep.
You'll be there,
of course,
right? Yep. Royal Oak Brewery's always there. Do you have anything fun? I forgot to look at what was on the Brewers Guild list for Royal Oak Brewery.
There's so much on there. I can't even look anymore. I can't even look.
Did you guys have anything special you were bringing out on that?
We saved a keg of Suicide Blonde, which is our seasonal Belgian Golden Strong Ale. It always goes over very well. We got the Kolsch, obviously. It's a good summer drinking beer, probably summer wit.
I'll tell you, on a day like that, I'm super happy if a brewery has a Kolsch.
Yeah.
I've gone to that festival. That's probably my favorite beer festival of the year. And wow. Sometimes you'll go and it's like all these breweries are just crazy double-digit beers. And I'm like, oh, man, it's like 100 degrees outside. I'm in the sun for like 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't sit there and drink bourbon barrel-aged Russian Imperial Stouts the whole time. Exactly. Like I need a Kolsch. I need some light, fun stuff.
Yeah, summer wit. I'll probably bring steam beer. I'm sure I'll bring a sour. I'm not sure exactly which one yet. I'm thinking about a Flanders Red Ale.
Okay.
So it's kind of like on the cusp of being dark, but not dark.
Sure.
I'm also going to be bringing a Habanero IPA Michelada.
So whoa.
That'll be our one weird beer.
Okay.
So that'll be –
that's what you should write next to it, the weird beer option.
I should
option.
Have done that. Yeah, I will actually. so I made a Habanero IPA for the Royal Club once, and then I made one that we put out. It went well, and we were messing around with adding a little bit of tomato juice to it just to see, you know, what it would taste like. And it tastes pretty good. So we're going to do
I'm not a Bloody Mary kind of guy. But
this is more of a Michelada because it's going to be more on the beer side.
But there are a lot of people that really like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
a few years ago, wasn't there – didn't Atwater have something out there like that?
Probably, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a few others kind of play with it. I've definitely seen it at Fest before. People have played around a little bit with that. That's a cool idea. Yeah. That'll bring some uniqueness to it.
And I'm sure, too, we'll probably – we've been doing the Brew Pub Club thing, too.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that for a second. We got about, I don't know, 8-9 minutes left here. Yeah, so let's dive into that.
Brew Pub Club, a few of us started because a lot of people don't understand the differences between brew pubs and microbreweries.
What are the differences, Jeremy?
The differences are – whole table's moving. The differences are
– at least the room's not moving.
Yeah, that's a good point. Not yet. Let's have some more steam beer.
No doubt.
The difference is a brew pub is not allowed to distribute. They're allowed to have other people's beer, other people's liquor, other people's wine, blah, blah, blah. But they're not allowed to distribute. They can only sell on premise. Obviously, you can sell growlers, stuff like that. Microbreweries are allowed to distribute, but they're only allowed to sell what they make. So they can get a liquor license. They can get – or not liquor license, spirit. You know, they can make spirits. They can make cider, wine, mead, all that other kind of stuff. But they're not allowed to have anybody else's beer on tap. So it seems right now that a lot of people are really more about microbreweries with this thing with the beer bars opening up and stuff like that. Everybody wants to go there and try all the different beers. We're not allowed to have our beer there. Which, you know, it is what it is. You know, some people say bad things about, you know, these beer bars, and some people say good things about them. It is weird because everybody's about fresh beer right now. And a lot of times and I'm not talking shit about beer bars. I grew up in one, the old tap room, one of the original ones. And the thing about those beer bars is all that beer is, none of that beer can be that fresh.
If you have 100 taps, let's just say north of 40 taps, right? Yeah. You really have to be super ultra busy to be floating through that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got a lot of work to keep those lines clean.
Yeah. And some of them are. I know, like, because we were just talking about Red Tap. Red Tap does, the, you know, like Hopcat.
Well, that's why companies like that exist now.
Yeah, exactly. Hopcat, you know, they clean their lines every, you know, couple weeks.
Yeah, I got another buddy who does that too. Was he Happy Tap?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of Happy Tap. There's also Jim Brown up in
That's right. Jim Brown's business.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of the business.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I can't. Tap something, right?
Something.
No, I don't know. Horrible. Taps. Sorry, Jim. I can't think of the name of your
Happy
business.
Taps? Happy Taps? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe his is Happy Taps, and then the one I'm thinking of is Draft Tower Happy Solutions. Draft. Shit.
Well,
it doesn't matter. I get what you're saying, though.
Yeah, yeah. But these places do it. But so those beers sit on those taps for forever sometimes. And even if they are cleaning their lines, who knows how long that keg's been sitting there. To where like a brew pub, like, you know, we only have – and even some of the microbreweries who have up to 20 to 40, 60 beers on tap, you can't keep that much on without some of that beer getting old.
Totally.
The thing with a brew pub is everything's fresh as, you know, as long as you're obviously moving beer, which most brew pubs around town are moving beer, everything's fresh constantly and everybody's all about the one-off beers. Brew pubs, almost every beer you make is a one-off beer. The beer's not – you only have so many – so you only have like 10 beers on tap. All those beers are fresh. I can guarantee you all the beer in my my brewery is fresh right now. That's a big –
This beer is sure fresh.
Oh, yeah. Well, we just tapped it too. But still, it tastes better that way. But that's just – as the brew pub club, like right now we have Black Lotus, Woodward Avenue Brewery, Great Baraboo. Am I missing somebody? Us, Royal Oak Brewery, Detroit Beer Company, other brew pubs are starting to kind of, you know, find out.
So what's the idea that you guys meet once in a while?
Yeah, we meet like once a month at a different brew pub and we just brew a collaboration beer. We thought about doing it as like a whole where we come up with a beer and everybody brew that beer and blah, blah, blah. And that's fun. But what happens is like, okay, so everybody remembers that one time we did that, but then kind of forgets about it because we're not doing it anymore. So this way, like once a month, like we're going to a new brewery, as much of us get together as we can and brew a beer at a different brew pub.
I love it. What a great idea.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, so far we've done the Royal Oak Brewery, the Black Lotus, Great Baraboo, you know, we're going to be doing Woodward Avenue Brewery, stuff like that too. So I know like Parker's Hilltop is a brew pub, Lily's in downtown, Royal Oak.
Yeah, the boys are great there. I've had the boys on the show before, Carson and Marlon.
Yeah,
we're going to have known their dad, mom and dad for a lot of years.
Yeah, I know Bob Morton too pretty well.
Yeah, and Scott, I know Scott probably a little better because he was
the brewer there.
He was a brewer that kind of taught his boys. His boys were a riot, man. They were funny.
To get
both of them in the room at the same time. Mm-hmm. You really see them. They're really talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And they look a little similar. I'm sure they would laugh. Yeah. They're listening to this right now. So because when I am doing walking tours where I include you guys in River Rouge, I'm including Lily's on there too.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them will be there every time that we're doing a tour. And I constantly want to like screw up names, which is I don't know why. I just still do it to this day, and I'm regular enough that I should know better. I don't know.
I don't remember names. I remember faces. I don't remember names.
There you go. So that's been fun to do that.
It's been a blast. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We're just going to keep doing it. And if we, you know, hopefully we just keep getting more brew pubs involved. Old Peninsula Brew Pub in Kalamazoo.
Dan
wants to do it. So we're trying to figure out when we can get a bunch of us to go down there. And obviously, you know, we all work in breweries. Like, it's hard to take a day off.
Sure, it does.
For everybody to go. But as long as
it's all just scheduling.
Yeah. And as long as a few of us go and hang out and brew together, promote it, we do want to start a brew pub, like an actual brew pub club Facebook page and all that stuff. But we want to get it kind of going before we really get into it, come up with like at least a little bit of a mission statement to kind of promote the differences between brew pubs.
I want to tie in some of my tours with the brew pub club for sure. I want to figure that out. I don't know how we do that the right way, but I totally do. Maybe I just come sometime when you guys are brewing and we all hang out and talk.
Yeah, that would work too. There's also like, some of us are right in a row, really.
Yeah.
I don't know how hard it would be to do like, you know, Detroit Beer Company, Webb, Royal Oak, and Black Lotus. Or
it would not be hard. Like so, that. Yeah. Like in the Detroit Beer Experiment project that they've done the last couple years in downtown Detroit. Last year, I called it – I think I told you about this before. I called it a super brewery bus tour.
Yeah.
Derek was part of that actually. at Detroit Beer Co.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And I did, what did I do, 5 in a night or 6 in a night? I can't remember how many I did. And I did like, what did I have? I picked up in Royal Oak and I did like Motor City Brew Works. I did Batch. I did Detroit Beer Co. I did Atwater. I did Eastern Market Brewing. They all collaborated with someone different.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that was pretty interesting the way they did that. I like your twist on it, though, of being it's just brew pubs.
Yeah.
We're all getting to know each other and kind of band together and explain why brew pubs are awesome.
We all kind of – I've been thinking of this for a while anyways. I personally love brew pubs. I mean, I love microbreweries, but brew pubs are so much fun. They're more personable. And sometimes they're the better brewers that are out there. They're the ones who are – like the brew pub brewers are typically it's one guy working in the whole place.
Making it happen.
You know, some of them have an assistant – like, you know, we have an assistant that goes between – or I like to call him just a brewer who goes between Royal Oak and Detroit. You know, we have people that help, but a lot of times it's just one guy doing everything. And that makes it more interesting too. It's just – I don't know. And we're all friends. Like we the last conference, the winter conference, is when we kind of started talking about
okay.
A little
bit. So the winter conference is the Michigan Brewers Guild winter conference this year held in Kalamazoo. I've gone to that a couple times. I didn't do it this year. But
it's fun. It's
I have. It's good social. It's so much bigger now.
It's huge.
That would be like a whole other conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean I've been doing this. So this will probably be my – 6 maybe or 7th I've
okay.
gone to.
I've probably gone to 4.
So much bigger.
I think I've done 4.
Yeah, even in that short period of time.
It's yeah.
huge.
Like doubled, yeah. doubled, tripled. I don't
probably,
even know
probably
what.
Probably more than doubled.
Probably, right? I remember I would go with Paul Starr, who's the I'm a Beer Hound guy. He produces like Beer Fest at the ballpark, Lansing Beer Fest, some other stuff. And I remember when him and I went the first time. What's the first one we went to? Oh, we went to one when they were up in what's the ski resort by Bel Air?
Oh yeah, that one was crazy.
That was wild.
Yeah,
and I don't know why I can't think of the Boyne. Is that one of the Boynes?
Yeah, I think it's Boyne.
Oh my gosh,
is that where we went up to? Like we had the
and we had a social and we were at Shorts.
Actually, no, that was before. That was a different
Harbor
one,
Springs. Oh my God, I'm totally drawing a blank. Sorry.
I think that was a different one because there was like we all went up to the top of the hill and there was like I don't even know what you call like a building up there that we all drank in for a while. It was part of one of the social things. I don't remember which
God. One was. Yeah, wow. It's funny how we forget some of the details. I do remember this that they shuttled us over to Shorts.
That might have been a different one.
Nights. That's a while ago. Like I'll bet you that might even be 6 years ago.
Yeah, that
but
might have been
I could be off on that. I remember that, and I remember Paul looking at me going, dude, we're drinking with Joe Short,
and
we were getting really tanked too. We were just having fun. I'd never been to anything like that and just surrounded by a lot of cool people.
Yeah,
and I was just excited to like be in the room with everyone, and I was a few years into running the tour company, so like I'm full of energy and all that stuff then.
Yeah, it's a lot of good networking too. Right? So I've learned more from just hanging out with all the other brewers than I do from sitting in some of the actual seminars and stuff. You know, it's fun. And that's, like I said, that's kind of how
– where this really came out of was the Brew Pub Club. Yeah. I love that. That's a great concept. I look forward to hearing and seeing and drinking more from that down the road. So, Jeremy, I want to thank you for coming on Beer Tour
thank
Guys Show, episode 14. I look forward to drinking a lot more with you down the road. So please listen to Podcast Detroit for this show or the Better on Draft website who helps sponsor the show for me or MotorCityBrewTours.com, my tour company, to learn more about events I have coming up. And we'll see you next month when I have Mr. Ian from Sellerman's on, one of Jeremy's neighbors there, and we'll be talking a lot about meat and God knows what else because Ian is quite a character. So thanks again, Jeremy. I appreciate it. If people want to learn more about Royal Oak Brewery, they can go to RoyalOakBrewery.com. They're on Facebook. They're on Instagram. They're everywhere they need to be. So thanks for listening to Beer Tour Guy Show, episode 14. Peace.